The recording made on June 29, 1970, with Mrs. Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R, of 1121 Main Street, South Weymouth, Massachusetts. The field worker is Audrey Dukert. Also present are Mrs. Kohler's daughter Eunice and my colleague Meredith Raymond of the University of Massachusetts English Department. Mrs. Kohler reminisces about her early days of teaching in Weymouth, talks about the Weymouth Fair, which was at one time a great occasion in the community, and in general is, well, she's just a terrific informant, that's all.
All right, now, say something.
Like what?
He was trying to speak about the cottage you had at the bottom.
Oh, yes. Down at the bottom of Great Hill, there was a row of cottages that the land belonged to Bradley. And the people were allowed to rent the land and put cottages on it. Well, the one on the where the old wharf was, you saw where the old remains of the old wharf that used to have steamers come in and land people. I don't know if that shows any longer anywhere there now, but it was quite well outlined. I have some pictures that I can show you that showed how that wharf was when her maid sitting there, that she was so indignant because she had a picture taken and her shirtwaist wasn't tucked in. Well, we had a small cottage next to the end one that was next to the wharf. And after that, I think there must have been about a row of about, there may have been 12 there. And who has a nice picture of that is Dr. Drake, Wallace Drake. And I've been going to write him a note and ask him if he wouldn't let the Weymouth paper publish those pictures and show all the houses along the beach. But I have now a picture of our house, which happened to be left the very last one before they tore them all down and then put the bathhouses up.
Were they taken by the town or something?
The beach was taken by the town for a public beach. And the house that we had gone down to was the one that was just left the very last. They used it for tool house.
This would be West Augustus Beach now.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, that's
under that wall.
Underneath the hill, it had to look
yes.
down and go.
Yes.
See it.
We had no water in the house. The first year we went in this out the end cottage that belonged to Page, and there was no water in the cottage. We had to go up on the hill, and there was a well on the side of the hill there, halfway up. And carried it down. Of course, the men brought the water down. My uncle and my father brought the pails of water down every day, every morning and at night. But sometimes we'd run out, and so I went up one day, and fell down the whole side of that hill there with a pail of water.
Jack and Jill.
So the cows used to be up on the hill that belonged to Bradley. And they were usually by themselves. And about in the afternoon, they'd go down by the point side where there was a great big, it wasn't a well exactly. It was a place where they could, drinking fountain, where they could get water. And then there was a big tree that was shade. So the cows were usually quite well out of the way. And we borrowed Uncle Will's tripod. And there was a flat rock up on there, so we'd set up the tent up there, make a tent out of it. It was a very, very poor tent. But that was a lovely place to walk up in the evening, and watch the sun go down. And then, now and then, we rolled down, but you had to be careful on account of the cows. They'd been there.
The cows.
Yes. And my father had taken a ship's boat, and put a gasoline engine. I think it was 1.5 horsepower. Mm-hmm. It wasn't outboard. It was inboard. Mm-hmm. And he had he built engines and built machinery anyway. That was his. He had built this small boat, and we used to go up and down the river in it. At that time, there were no outboard motors. And there was there were boats, sailboats that had auxiliaries, and there were fishing boats that had large engines in them, but nothing on that small size, so we were quite a sight. And one of them, it was stolen, and the engine taken out of it, and they found it over at Swampscott.
That far?
Well, no, not Swampscott. What's next to Welland Beach? Squantum, over at Squantum. And that was, they would come around in winters, you know, and steal a lot of the things. Our lovely little rowboat was stolen, too. And that was quite a tragedy, we thought, too, at the time. But the hill was just as it is now, but they used it in the wartime. And so that was the, there was a flag on it, and my nephew had the job of that Alan.
Audrey knows about Alan because she lives in she's from Anna. She lives in Hadley, but she knows who Alan is. I told you.
Oh, yes.
Had the job of going up there and putting that up every morning.
Did Ron have that job?
Mm-hmm. Did Ron have it too?
Did Ron have it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I guess he did. Yeah. So May said she had quite a job too. She ever had now and then had to mend it up.
Oh, yes.
It had a lot.
It was during the first.
Well, I think it was in high school. Well, I've been there twice. Mm-hmm. I graduated high school in
28, didn't
you? Hmm. We
did a lot of
wind up there, certainly.
Yes, they did. It showed up very well up in the through the harbor there. When you're coming along, you look up on the hill, and there would be that big flag waving, breeze. It was a very good flag. But I was going to say, there was something else. Oh, that hill also, that has a stone on it. You saw that. And when we had a celebration, I'm trying to think what the celebration was.
Was it tercentenary?
It must have been. Well, that was when the president came. It was President Taft.
Oh,
oh,
I know. It was 1623, 1923
right.
Tercentenary. Mm. 1622, 1922.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would it be Harding?
No, it was Taft that came. He was ex-president.
Oh, ex-president. Harding would have been president.
Oh, I see.
Well, Taft was some relation in some way to the Tories.
Uh-huh.
They were distant cousins. So my brother-in-law was delegated to be one of the aides. Uh-huh. He had to have a horse, a silk hat, and a flag. Well, that was something, I tell you.
Did you see the president? I mean, Mr.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Was he really as big as they say?
Mm-hmm. Large, handsome.
Down the White House when he was.
Oh, yes, I did.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, it was a group of, the first year I was teaching, a group of my classmates at Bridgewater went with some Quincy group, and we all went to Washington and saw everything. I even walked down Washington Monument. So to see be sure to see the Massachusetts Stone. Wow.
And super patriot.
Then we were very fortunate that we were allowed to go in and see the president and shake hands with him. It was a very thrilling occasion. And we had, before we were in this long line, and before we came to the president, one of the aides leaned over, very tall, nice-looking man, and leaned right over close to us, and we spoke our name in his ear. I wondered at the time why he was so particular. It seemed as though that was one way they had of looking us all over carefully to see we had nothing that would be in the way of a weapon or anything, you know.
Oh, yes, and doing it without your really knowing what
you
he was
didn't realize, for. You didn't realize what it was. You just did it so nicely, you know.
Mm-hmm. So now we get back in the recording business.
Did you see House Rock yet?
No, we didn't. No. Tell us about House Rock.
Well, it had been said, I don't know, I think it's been disputed since, that it was the second largest boulder in New England. It's a very big big boulder, and evidently broken off from some ledge nearby. And of course, there are plenty of ledges here in Weymouth. Mm. And it's down at off Essex Street. Is that you go in, it says House Rock Road on it. You go right in there and you see the very large stone.
Is it supposed to be as big as a house?
Oh, it's very much bigger than a house, I should think. Did I get a picture of that?
No, we have not. There's an old one somewhere around, but I don't know if the library is. Weymouth is a very stony place, isn't it? The
ledges. We have a great big ledge that runs all the way from the east.
There's a lot of slate on it.
From Weymouth Landing, it comes right up through and goes up through through all the streets what's the street it goes up in? Backs up anyway and comes out there by Park Avenue, back of the school. There's all that great big rocky ledge. It was in back of my father's house, and so we played on that ledge all the time. There's all kinds of nooks and crannies and places you could go up and down. Where Sarah lives. It's 1358. That was my father's house. Of course, we weren't Weymouth people. We were Braintree. My forebears, my great-grandfathers, went way back for seven generations.
That was the Allen family?
The Allen family. They had a grant of land.
Oh.
From the king, I think. Oh, they got it from Braintree. It's up there in historical house over in Braintree.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, we were nearby here, but we hadn't. When we came here to live in South Weymouth, my father had been working in Pittsfield. That's where I was born. And when Grandpa Allen and Uncle Frank worked in the heel factory, they got Papa and Uncle Will, who were both stitchers. In fact, Papa could do most anything in the shoe line. They got him to come here and work. And that's how we came to settle in South Weymouth. And at that time, because I was only 9 months old, so I don't remember much of any place but Weymouth.
But you stayed here the rest of your life?
I have been here. About 3 years I was off teaching.
Uh-huh.
And 1 year I lived over in South Quincy when I was first married, and that's all. I've been ever since then, I've lived in Weymouth.
You really belong to the South Shore then?
I belong to the South Shore.
Right. You're mentioning playing on the rocks reminds me, one of the things that I'm particularly interested in collecting is your recollections of some of the games you played or some of the amusements you had.
On the rocks?
Not only on the rocks, but...
It's all about River Rising, Mama.
I better not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, let's hear River Rising.
Well, my mother had a lovely table. It would belong to my grandmother, great-grandmother, I don't know which, and it has three solid planks of mahogany. And the two sides lifted up on each side, and the one in the middle, you know. And then you pulled out a leg, which held those two other sides. Well, we had it in the kitchen, and ate at it, you know. And then over on the farther side of the room, there was another smaller table that had a round leaves. And those were held up with those little folding things, brackets, like. So when my mother would leave us there, we had this little game that was a lot of fun to do. You laid all the dining room chairs in a row, see, up to the first table to the bigger table, see. And then you had two more chairs that went to the other table. So we started in the dining room, what was our living room at that time, because we had only stoves, and so we had that one room there in the middle heated. And we'd say, well, the river is rising. So then we'd get on the chairs, and then we worked ourselves over onto the big table. Then it got worse. We went up to the farther table, you know. It was very exciting, you know. And, of course, now and then something fell, you know, and then you had to reach down and grab it out of the water some way. I think there was some arrangement that we had a chair that we used, thought it was a boat, and shoved it around.
Was it an original game with you?
Oh, yes. We had lots of original games. And one of them, another nice game to play, was when it was really muddy, you know, to go out in your bare feet and get a good lump of mud on your instep, see?
Yeah.
Then the game was to carry it along on your heel like this, as long as you could without losing it off. And of course, we played hopscotch and jump rope and horse chestnuts.
Tell me about that.
Oh, horse chestnuts were wonderful. You could make a pipe out of them, see. And Papa made me a little horse chestnut burrow, which was different than anybody else had, because I had a little file on it, a little handle to it.
Mm-hmm.
You took the file and you just worked it, and you had an elegant hole.
Uh-huh.
Then you could make string them like beads, or you could just fling them up in the air and let them come down, or you could do almost anything with them.
What kind of pipes did you make out of them?
Just had a little piece of wood stuck into them,
uh-huh.
See, and we hollowed the interior of the nut, the horse chestnut, and flattened the top so it was like a pipe. So. Oh, yes, we blew bubbles, and we made paper dolls. Oh, did we make paper dolls? I had a paper doll school, even. And my cousin Beth was the teacher, and she one day got so mad. Of course, we talked for the dolls, the rest of us did. And she talked to the doll. She got so mad one day at one of them. He was so sassy and horrid, she shook him and tore him. That was it. And the funny thing about it was, both Ruth and I got to be teachers, but Beth didn't.
We played croquet, too.
Oh, yes, we played croquet, and we played baseball out in the backyard there, but with a rubber ball. And then we played, we had bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Bicycles galore. And I'm going to show you a picture of a tricycle. I bet you never saw anything like it before, either. It had two big side wheels. Then it had, in the middle, it had two seats. And one seat faced, one seat was connected with the sprocket wheels. And that was what man would be on. Then the back part had two small wheels to hold it steady, you see. And these two big wheels in the front. The two people sat in the two middle, in between those two middle wheels. Then there was a front part that came down like a, just came down around like, you put your, place to put your feet, see, on the side of a little small wheel.
What a contraption.
Yes. You'd be surprised at that. I've seen pictures of it in some of the old books. But that was, it was a very nice little, it could even go, you know, you could run it. But we had a neighbor, and he was a Swedish man, and he got to be a little mental, and he was just simply enamored of that tricycle. He loved that. And every now and then he'd come over, and he'd wheel it off over to his house. And it got so, and he tried to take it apart. And when he'd lose the screws out of it, and then he'd put some sawdust or something in the way. And finally, Papa had to take it all apart and get that. I put it up in the barn so he couldn't get it. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a tricycle, and then I had a little bicycle. I learned to ride it. So I was 7 years old, and I learned to ride this big, old, heavy bicycle. I could hardly lift it up to get onto it. But I just got under it somehow. I was small and skinny, too. And I got underneath it and give it a push sort of up, you know, and then I'd get under it sort of, and I'd heist it up that way. But I rode it, but I couldn't get off. So I had to, when there was a little stone at the corner of our yard, so I rode over that and fell off.
It's like a mounting block in reverse, isn't it?
Otherwise, I guess I did stay down it for a while. Finally, I learned to get off of it. We also had a tandem, a man's and woman's a tandem bicycle that we could ride on, too. My father sold bicycles. He had an agency for bicycles, and he did a lot of bicycle repairing. There was kind of an elderly teacher that they used to call Sticky Smith. And she was a... And she taught me up the corner school, because I went to the Shoal Shaw School, and at the time I went there were two buildings. There was a building that had the first five grades, because the other back in the back of the lot there was another room, one room building, and that held the four upper grades.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Belcher taught that. She was a large, commanding lady. And she, I went 1 year up to that school,
mm-hmm.
when I got the sixth grade. Then after that, I went to the new school was built, mm-hmm. and that held everybody, you know. But that was a Shaw school. So that was quite an innovation, I tell you. But I often wonder, wouldn't allow children to go down stairs, pump, you know, with the cadence, mm-hmm. because it was a very bad thing for the building. Mm. But we did. We marched down those stairs now just as carefully in great good order, I tell you.
The building still standing?
No, they took it down. They pulled it down, and they've got another building they've built up. They can use it for the children, the mentally handicapped children.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the club you have, your Sunshine Club.
Well, I was quite a little older. I was about 12 years old when we had that. We had that Sunshine Club, and when the Weymouth Fair had a parade, and there was a prize. They had made up their mind to have a prize for a juvenile. And there was nobody going to be in it, as they knew. So went loud, got hold of us, Sunshine Club people, to make a car, and he would drive us. Mm-hmm. So he had an old blue farm car, and we trimmed it up with anything we could find, which happened to be some pieces of old sheets and a little from the goldenrod and what have you. I don't think we had anything very decent to put in it. Then we all had boards across to sit on, and I think there were about 8 of us, I should think, just about that. And took all the children, most of them lived from the schoolhouse up to Park Avenue, mm-hmm. that section. And we rode in it, and what did we do? We got a silver cup.
The Weymouth Fair is apparently quite a local institution. Can you tell me something about it?
Oh, the Weymouth Fair is like nothing. Oh, just it's so different now, you would never believe that it was the same thing. Everybody went there. It used to be wonderful. They had a man that lived up here in Palm Plain there. He used to come every year with it and have a little stand, and he sold the most delicious ice cream in a little paper box, and it was a tin spoon. Mm-hmm. Oh, your life was made when you had ice cream out of that little box. Then there was flying horses, too. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you had to have a ride on the flying horses. And then we had rock candy. He'd have a great big block of it, and he'd quack it up. You know, you usually got that on your way home, and then you could give it, crack it on the stone wall by Martin's on the way home. Oh, everybody was so tired, they'd been dragging home. But the thing that was the funniest thing, if you had an animal to put in, you see, you got in free. There was a cow across the street, and that cow was entered. And I think there were much as big, my brother was one of them. I think there was much as 7 little boys went in with that cow.
What else did they have? Fruit and canning and all?
Oh, they had a beautiful display of all kinds of fruits and vegetables and canned goods. And then there was a place for the children to put any kind of work they did. They drew pictures and they had school work, and they had sewing things and dressed dolls, and I usually won about 50 cents out of it before I got through.
What did you enter?
One thing. Oh, I entered dolls, I entered paper dolls, I entered pictures of anything I happened to have handy, I think. Mm-hmm. I can remember dressing 2 dolls one year alike in white muslin dresses, and I did stitched it all on this machine, and I imagine it was kind of a sloppy job, but never mind. I think we won something on it. Mm-hmm. And gratuity was generally what you got. Uh-huh. Gratuity. We're quite pleased with that. And they had beautiful sewing and beautiful needlework that ladies would put in, and all kinds of baked goods and things, and the whole hall would be full. I think the hall we had, it's just because as I remember, it seems as though it was much bigger than the old the hall that we had later on, that you would remember. I probably not remember at the hall over there. And we used to get almost always get a yardstick free. There was a man giving out those. And then there was a blind man that played the piano. Mm-hmm. They were selling pianos in there. There was one section where they had that in the hall. Then, of course, the livestock outside was, well, they had all kinds of, there were sheep and cows and large pigs. I know I was always afraid to go through the cow place because they really looked vicious. They had horns.
Where did they come from?
All around. The people had farms here. There were, I think there must have been at least 8 or 10 farms right here in South Weymouth.
Hmm. There aren't any now, are there?
No. I used to be a big fan of the summer when I used to take the hay off our fields. I can remember that as a kid, riding on the wagon.
Bullies down here, they are. But
they're out now. So Mr. Lindsay up here in Virginia and Rice.
No, we don't have Moore there. We had Judge Moore had milk for years.
Yeah, and was
the ice cream Perry's ice cream?
No, this man wasn't Perry, but Perry did have ice cream, and I think he was over there. Staples was the man that used to do it, and I think he made it himself too.
I always remember Perry's lemon.
I don't know.
Did they have the horse racing?
Did
they have the harness racing?
Oh, yes, we had horse racing. Yeah.
Did you have betting on them?
I suppose so, but I didn't really know very much about that. Mm-hmm. The first day would be Children's Day, and they'd usually have a stage show of some sort, and they'd have, they'd do all kinds of acrobatic tricks. We'd have.
I mean, the kids would put it on themselves.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, it was a hired talent that came in. And they had, they called it Children's Day because that was the day that the children could get in free.
Uh-huh.
And then they had, what else did we have on that day? That must be interesting. Because they always had places that you could get a meal, some kind of food. And I think we had hot dogs over there. I don't even remember even went over there because we generally had our lunch sandwiches. And the surprising to me now is that none of those big lovely trees, that whole hut mound was all filled with lovely tall pine trees, and the ground was thick with pine needles. And we'd eat our lunch over there.
Mm-hmm.
We carried it packed in a box, of course. And then my mother came over with the baby carriage and the baby in the carriage, and then she'd go up on the grandstand, and if your mother went up the grandstand, you could go too. So that was very nice. And then the horses were lovely. They really had very fine crotting horses at that time too. There were quite a number of men that were interested in that and had horses to race. There was one I know, a man, I guess, I don't, they kept coming there every year for I don't know how many years. I remember seeing him.
I think some of them go around to all the fairs, don't they?
Probably, yeah. And when I had three small children, I always had three dress sets of clothes all laid out so that every day I could go over.
Yeah, it only lasted 3 or 4 days.
It was 3 days.
Yeah.
What is it like now?
Days. Very commercial and very much betting horse right now. The type people that come in now aren't the type people we used to see.
Mm-hmm.
We used to meet all the people we knew, all my classmates and everything. Ralph Wilder would be there, and I said to him one day, he said to me, "Are these all your children?" I had my three, and I said, "Oh, wasn't I chosen?" Between us, we had six. He had twins. Yeah, he had twins.
Oh, wow.
So we had really a lovely time over there. It was the highlight of the year, I think.
What other things did you do for recreation later? I mean, as you got older.
As I was growing up, well, of course, we had skating, and there was Marcus Turrell had a beautiful double runner.
Mm.
And we used to get to Marcus to take his double run, and then we went to Nash's Hill, and you've got the top of the hill there, and you go right straight down all the way down to there was a river down at the bottom below Louis Else's, That was quite a ride, I tell you.
Does Nash's Hill begin at Nash's Corner?
That would be down at, Liberty Square, they call it now.
That's
towards the Southeast Expressway.
Yeah.
Because the expressway spoiled that hill there, because that would have gone
spoiled.
Right through. Well, that was it went right through. You could go beyond. You'd go as far as it'd be about, where the first turnoff is that you go up to Boston.
Uh-huh.
It'd be down there. We'd go quite a right way that way. And I also remember going down what we call Haskett's Hill, but it was the hill by John Stetson by the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Laying down on my stomach on a small double run, and I don't know whose it was, and steering it with my hand, you know, while we went shooting down the sidewalk.
When you were a girl, was this, because several people about your generation have told me that this was considered very unladylike for a little girl to ride down on the sled that way. They were
belly bump.
Yeah, they were. Oh, you called it belly bump, did you?
Sure, uh-huh. Belly bump.
And you were supposed to sit up if you were a little lady.
Well, yes, oh yes, we'd sit on it any way we happened to land on it, I tell you right now. I wasn't one of those kind.
Good, good.
We were well protected. No miniskirts, no miniskirts. We had layers of leggings, underdrawers, woolen stockings, and woolen petticoats.
Tell me something about that, because this is something that's gone by the board, of course.
Oh, yes, indeed. But of course, we didn't have, in those days, the leggings that they had that pull right up to your waist.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, as I say, we had the heavy underdrawers, and they were fleece-lined. And quite thick, and you had the hard work to get your stockings over them on and to make them look good. You had to wrap it around very carefully on the inside of your leg, you know.
Yeah. Did you have to make a little triangular piece, sort of?
Yes, but you did it on the inside here.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you put it.
I wore them too.
Did you have to?
Not the heavy kind, but just long underwear as a kid.
Yeah. Yes. I was much heavier, as I say, they were a police line. And not only that, I had so many of these chest colds. I used to be all padded out with cotton batting besides that.
Oh.
And I think Mama pinned it in. I don't remember now. I think she pinned it on a cloth, and I had it padded through there so I wouldn't check.
Did that help?
That. I don't know.
Did you have any of the other remedies for colds,
If you would know the things I had spread on my chest when I was a little girl, you'd be sorry for me.
Let's hear about it.
You'd be sorry for me. The worst thing was the flaxseed poultice. That flaxseed poultice was on me while I was having the pneumonia, and I was too sick to even tell them some of the times, and they got it on too well. So when I got through with the pneumonia, my whole chest was peeling with blisters, solid blisters.
How is that poultice made?
Well, you take the flaxseed and some water and stir it up in the stove till it gets good and thick. And have a heavy piece of cotton cloth already laying there, and you plaster it all over it. Then lay another one on top of it. Then when you tested the hands till they thought I could stand it, then wham, on it went.
I mean, it generates, the flax generates some heat?
It holds the heat.
Uh-huh.
So that was like a hot compress.
Yeah.
That was on me on that. Mm-hmm. But that isn't all I had on me.
Well, tell us about
besides that, sometimes I'd had goose grease put on thick, and then a cloth laid over that. Then I think once I had an onion poultice, too. And then I had some culmination with ginger and lard. Who thought that up? I don't know. On me too.
Did you ever have a mustard plaster?
No, I don't think I did.
I've had
oh, wait
those.
A minute. Wait a minute. Yeah. Those are the kind. Yes, I did have one of those.
Yeah.
I had one. It was on front and on back of me.
Oh.
Both. Because I had a pain in my chest, and they thought that would be a good idea. Well, I shut right up on the pain. I was. It not only did it itched.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't just itch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they get hot.
And come off. Oh, I don't remember it getting hot. I live to tell a story. So you can see there must have been some good in it.
So one of the remedies must have helped.
But my brother had the pneumonia, same as I did. and he was only two. And when he was walking around, but when he was getting over it, he tried to walk. He couldn't. He was too weak.
Oh.
And his legs sunk right down under him. Mm. And after that, he had pneumonia three times. And they used to put on him a stuff they called antiphlogiston.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a putty.
Uh-huh.
And well, it was much nicer than to wear than that flaxseed, I can tell you that right now.
What other home remedies do you remember?
Well, we had earache, you know, a lot. And the earaches that we had, we'd have oils, sweet oil, some kind of oil put into it. What kind of oil did we have? It was, it was just an ordinary little oil, sweet oil, I guess they called it. And Mom would soak that on the cotton and then dip it in.
Mm-hmm.
But my children, when they were growing up, I used to syringe their ears out with warm water, but you had to know how to do it and not to get it against the drum.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had that done for me. But my brother had the croup, and oh, did he have the croup. And I know one time, I think my father gave him kerosene. I don't know how he gave it to him, but...
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
No, I don't know, remember, but I remember them going down to the back and...
Did you ever use a croup tent or see one?
No, I don't think they'd come in then. I don't think anybody knew about the croup tents. But when my children started having croup, I was very fortunate because old Dr. Drake had given my sister a remedy, and this is really good. You watch your child, and if it looks as though it's going to be croupy, and you can tell because their eyes shine and their cheeks get red in the afternoon. And you take this, I'd take a half a glass of five teaspoonfuls of water, and a half a teaspoonful of Ipecac.
What's that?
And Ipecac, syrup of Ipecac. They have it all in the drugstores now. I think you can get it any time too for that. They'll use it for that. This is a hard mucus that forms in their throat, and it just strangles the child. You can't. They sound like a barking dog.
Mm.
It's such a noise. Well, two of my children, Eunice and Lynn, both had croup very badly, and I'd start in the afternoon, and they'd even go and take it themselves when they got old enough and take a spoonful of it, and not mind. And they'd never have the croup. They just wouldn't have it at all. But I'd see later on that the little ones, you know, they'd pass the stool, and you'd see that hard core of thick, tough rubber mucus come through.
Well, the trouble is, I guess they can't cough it up. And it just
no, they can't. There. It's just stuck there. Mm-hmm. And lots of children have died of that. They call it membranous croup.
Mm-hmm.
We had scarlet fever, too, when I was a little girl. But I didn't get it bad at all. Old Dr. Towell was the doctor. But my sister had to have her throat to they used some sort of an atomizer on it. I don't know what it was. I can remember seeing the thing, and she was very sick. And my younger sister was only a baby, and she couldn't nurse. Her mouth was so sore, and so she didn't have a thing to eat. And there she was, crying, and she scratched her face, and it was all bleeding where the rash was. You know, she was a sight. And I came in with a cracker in my hand, and she grabbed the cracker right out of my hand and ran to try to eat it, you know, with a sore little mouth. And I know they were so astonished to see her, because that had been the first time, I guess, she showed that she had really... gotten hungry and wanted something very badly to eat. They managed to feed her after that, I think.
Do you remember a disease called canker rash, or hearing anybody speak of it?
Would that be German measles?
I don't know. It keeps turning up in old town records and histories, and it seems to me it always sounds something like scarlet fever or what they used to call the black measles, a very severe case of...
Well, we had the black diphtheria in this town, and I think several died of it, had very bad cases of it. And then we also had, we had the scarlet fever, the little boy that sat in front of my sister in school, because the other two weren't in school yet, And he died. Mm. That was a little Gerald boy. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Geralds living down there. Carrie was Carrie Lasky. Did you ever hear of the Laskys mm-hmm. down there?
Yeah, I had a Lasky in the shop.
Well, it was Carrie's oldest brother. Mm-hmm. And because Carrie had to, she was the middle girl there. There were three girls. The others died sooner, later on. Mm-hmm. Let me think of anything else. Of course, we all had chicken pox. Mm-hmm. And we had...
Did you ever have to take sulfur and molasses?
I don't know. My folks weren't much for giving us medications. I can remember having to take a Scott's emulsion after I hit diphtheria. I mean, after I had the pneumonia. Well, that was...
That was just kind of royal, wasn't it?
It was a white, horrible...
I think they've made the medicine taste a little bit better now, at any rate.
Well, I suppose that may be it. Of course, we didn't have anything like vitamins or anything like that. I think I was better after I took that Scott's emulsion, because I have an idea that gave me more resistance, and I didn't get that so many of those chest colds, which I was so very apt to have.
On a more cheerful subject, but we've gone through all the
music,
too. Yeah. Oh, I could just sing before I could talk, I guess. And that tickled my father terribly, because they were all a musical family. My grandfather was a musician, and he was played in the Grand Army.
He did?
Oh, yes. Oh. And he was, the Braintree Town Band there, he was one of the members, and the greats and Uncle Frank, they could play any wind instrument you showed them, practically. Mm. They had all of them there. And, of course, we all sang. But I was the one who sang most. And then when I was 7, I had a little violin. Papa played the violin. Never had a lesson. And he went out, he got a violin and went off up in the barn and taught himself to play all alone by himself. Because the others all teased him. He was one of a family of, I guess there were 6 of them then, because 2 of them died, or 8 in all. And they were older. He was one of the younger ones, you see. And he had, I imagine, a little difficulty being bossed around by 3 sisters. And so he taught himself to play the violin, and then they used to go around, playing for dances. Uh-huh. They had all kinds of sociables and such things as that. And then all the lodges wouldn't have put on things, because I remember my sister used to be kind of provoked when my mother would say, ask her about some of the people in the high school class, because she'd lived in Quincy, but she used to come over with Grandpa to the all the Mason times. And so she'd... My mom would say, well, I danced with his father or her father. And May would get kind of disgusted over it. But of course, Mama, at that time, my grandfather didn't have a wife at that time. Mama was about 15 or 16, I guess, and so she used to come with him. And I guess she had a pretty gay old time of it. She was very pretty, and she was little, and had a very nice time. So... So Papa played at all of those times that they'd have, and I think that's probably where she met him. Mm-hmm. Then they had, my Uncle Will had a wonderful voice. If he had ever been trained, I think he'd almost been a grand opera singer. Mm-hmm. Such a voice he had. And they sang, there was a Judge Avery up in White Braintree, and his wife was saying they had a quartet that sung in one of the churches up there for a while. Because I know she told me one time, Susie Avery told me one time, my mother used to sing with your uncle. And then Uncle Will also took pictures. I wish I had some of the pictures that he used to take, you know, of all around different parts of the town. I have some pictures that he took of the children. I was running a kindergarten at that time. And he came and took the pictures of the kindergarten children. And you should see how the background that was arranged for those pictures so carefully. And he had was one of the children over at Pratt School. And they had he had a big rock in back grass. It was so different from what you usually see the pictures of them standing on the steps, you know.
They almost all look alike.
Yes, they do. Yeah. But I'll show them to you and you'll see what they look like. They're very different.
Did you play the piano too?
I didn't have a piano till I was 12, and I wanted one. And when I was 3 years old, I used to go and sit in front of Marion Hill's house, Lysander Hill's house, and listen to him, Marion, play. Mm-hmm. I was so crazy for one. But Charlene Stoll had a piano at her house. And believe it or not, I was by the time I was 7, I could play exercise in a book. It was 2 hands different. I even know it now. It was an awful struggle because I only have about 15 minutes while I was waiting for Charlene or something. And Charlene would say, oh, come on, go out and play something else here. We had woods to play in and Wenshaw's Pond. And that was a wonderful place. Everybody fell in it. And it had quite a lot of water in it in the wintertime and in the spring. But, oh, we used to play up in there. And then there was a place up in the woods where there was a pond that ran all around through the trees so that you could learn to skate up there. And I can see my brother now hanging on the tree. The way feet wide open, just learning to skate, you know, looking so funny. But the bad thing about skating there was you're liable to hit a twig and down you'd go. But we had quite a time there. And a nice little brook ran down there, too, that was very pretty. And over back of the in Martin's Wood, there was a little spring that we used to think was pretty, very, very nice, near the graveyard. It's not, well, I should say, a very short way from it. The gravestones were there at the time, and a lot of them have fallen down. I think they've picked them up now, but they used to, I remember seeing them take a piece of the gravestone rock there and had make some spruce gum on it. It was a, I don't know how they did it, but it wasn't very good. I remember you can eat from it because it didn't look very good to me either.
I mean, it comes out of a spruce tree?
The sap, and then they'd heat it. I guess perhaps that was to get the dirt out of it. I don't know what else.
Uh-huh.
Probably.